Well, good evening, everybody. Let's get started on our prayer list here. Does anybody have any updates they'd like to share for our prayer list? Yes, ma'am. Gotcha. Right. Okay. All right, anyone else? Yes, sir.
We've gotten away from doing birthdays because we don't have open assembly anymore, but tomorrow is Corinne's 10th birthday.
Oh. Corinne's birthday is going to be on tomorrow. She's turning 10. I got to go back through and read these. Steve got on me for not repeating them. I got to get better at that. I'm sorry. So I got Jimmy's sister, Jessie, and I have Wendy Mitchell tested positive for the virus, and I have Joe's office had one person test positive, but everybody else seems to be doing pretty good. All right. That's good. So I just kind of wanted to give an update on my wife's health. So it's good news and bad news, I guess, is the best way to put it. So they're letting her drop her treatments from 3 days a week down to two. So that's a real positive. But on Friday, they still can't tell why her kidneys haven't fully recovered. So on Friday, she's going to be having a biopsy on both her kidneys. So if y'all could be in prayer about that, just that the procedure would go well. And I guess we'll spend most of the day at the hospital just making sure she recovers okay and comes out of surgery. And so last time we went to the hospital, it wasn't that fun of a trip. So just pray for, you know, nerves and that God would just be with us and we'd be at peace. I think prayer works, so I'm telling you what I want you to pray. Just pray that we'd have peace and that my wife would be come out the other side okay. And we're really praying that they don't find anything. If they find dead tissue, it means that they probably won't fully recover. But if they don't really find anything or it's inconclusive, that's what we want. That means it could still fully recover. So we're going to be at Chapel Hill. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, so Anna's parents are in the path of another hurricane. I joked around with one of my friends that once I got out of Louisiana, God removed his hand of protection, but that's not really true. It's not really true. Her parents are in the path of the hurricane, and I'll say it again on Sunday, but we just wanted to express our thanks to everybody who donated for the love offering to help them cover the loss of their roof. As of right now, they have roof damage, and they have a couple of rooms that have water damage. And so y'all's donation is just a big help. So we did want to thank you on their behalf for that. I just feel like all y'all have been doing has been given to us since we got here. So I hope you don't get sick of us too quick because we like it. But we're so thankful to be here, and we're thankful for y'all. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Remind me of his name.
Johnny Mann.
Johnny Mann. I should have remembered that. Johnny Mann. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We have Johnny Mann. We're praying for him as he moved to a new facility. He's dealing with a lot of bed sores and illness, and he's in quarantine right now. Yeah, I've been trying to visit my grandmother since we moved out here, and it's like every time I get a free weekend, they lock it back down because somebody tests positive. So I haven't even been able to see my own family member, and, you know, it's like I'm just as far away, even though I'm just 2 hours away now. It's crazy.
Well, they're supposed to be able to, in a couple
of
weeks.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But if that patient pulls their mask out, they're back in the
They get in trouble.
Now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Ms. Renee? She doesn't keep that to herself, right? Okay, I'm just kidding. That's Aunt Trisha Johnson and Deborah Self to continue praying for them.
Donna.
Donna, okay. I couldn't read my own handwriting. That's what that was. Y'all know my secret now, I guess. All right, any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just lift up these requests to you. We lift up Jesse and Wendy. We lift up Johnny and Miss Self and Miss Johnson. We just lift up these folks on the list, God. We lift up the people in our military and the shut-ins. And God, I thank you that the Bible tells us that you intercede for us beyond words. Because, Lord, sometimes we run out of words. God, sometimes we run out of ways to pray for those people in our lives. God, when we see this COVID or these sicknesses or these illnesses or these struggles in our family and our friends, God, we pray to them and you are faithful and you move. But so many times, God, we just run out of words. And so we thank you and we just call on you tonight to pray for these folks. We pray that your Holy Spirit would intercede beyond words, God, that you would give comfort to those who need comfort, that you give strength to those who need strength, that you give hope to those of us who need hope, God. That you put your Spirit in them, that you would stir them, that you would strengthen them, that you would empower them and enable them to persevere, God. Because as many things happen in our lives, Father, if we can persevere, we can make it. And so, God, I just pray for those who are in need tonight, those who are in harm's way in the military, those who are in our police departments, those who are in hard places. And we just ask that you'd remember them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So tonight we're going to finish Proverbs chapter 4, which I know some of y'all get wondering if we're going to get through chapters sometimes. So I like to remind you, we're getting through another chapter. And tonight I'm going to do something a little bit different that I don't always do. And I'm just going to read a little bit more than just what we're covering. Sometimes I think when we chop up the Bible into pieces, it loses something. But when we look at it sort of as a whole, we start to see it for more. So I just want to read, we're just going to read Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. And we're going to start in verse 1. Our study tonight will cover verses 20 through 27, the end of chapter 4. But I just want us to get a sense of what he was saying in this section as we sort of close it out. Hear, O son, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will keep you. Love her and guard her. For the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she'll exalt you. She'll honor you if you embrace her. She will put on your head a graceful garland and bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of the upright. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They're robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. For the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight and keep them within your heart. For they are life for those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for it flows springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be secure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. In my military days, I was a glorified construction worker. But I was a fancy construction worker. We used to say that we were from cradle to grave. We would survey a construction site. We would draw up the design plans. We would put out the stakes for them to start the building. We would test the asphalt or the concrete. And we'd inspect the project as it's being built. So one of our jobs is that we test concrete. And my first big job that I got assigned when I came back to the States after living in Germany was in Georgia. You know, the state near North Carolina. Moody Air Force Base near Valdosta, Georgia. And we had this project of working on a taxiway, right? And I don't know if you know anything about taxiways or airplanes, but you have to test the compressive strength and the flexural strength. And those are two different tests. One is a cylinder and one is a beam. Now, to be able to test a beam, you have to switch out the head of your concrete breaker, which I don't know if you know is pretty heavy. So I was working one day with my boss slash coworker, and I'm just going to be honest with you, English was not his first language, okay? He's from Puerto Rico. And he was a good guy, he was a nice guy, but I couldn't always understand what he was telling me to do, okay? And I don't think he always understood what I was saying back to him, to be honest with you. So one day, we're in this abandoned building that the Air Force has given us to do our material testing in, and I'm by the concrete breaker. And I know that I get to leave that day when we're finished doing our tests of these beams, because we have to know how strong the concrete is so that the airplane doesn't break it when it drives across it. It's pretty simple, y'all. So I was in the process of taking the head off the concrete breaker, and I told my boss, I said, hey, come here for just a second. I just need your help with this. And what I heard him say was, okay, go ahead. I'll be right there. But what he actually said was, I actually don't know what he said, to be honest with you, because I didn't really get a chance to hear it. And I really didn't get a chance to ask him, because as I was taking the concrete breaker head off, I didn't have somebody else on the other side to hold it. So all about 50, 60 pounds of pressure came on my one hand all at one time. And I tested the concrete breaker on my middle finger that day. And the concrete breaker won. You can still see a scar. It looks like a little half circle on my finger. And I had to go get stitches. But I had to get stitches for this one reason. We had a miscommunication. You know, we had a misunderstanding. We were speaking the same language, but we weren't speaking the same language. You know, we were both speaking English, but we weren't understanding each other, and we weren't acting on that. Now, you don't have to be somebody's son to know that sometimes you have to tell your son, boy, you need to listen. But that is what Solomon's doing at the beginning of this section. That's why we read that whole section, because he's told his son a lot, right? And remember, he's not just talking to his biological son. He's talking to the other high-ranking royal officials. And he's giving them some instructions. And he keeps saying, this is important and this is important. And what happens after a while, probably never happens when I'm up here. But, you know, after a while, you just start tuning out. You sort of hear their voices, and maybe you drift asleep, or maybe you just start looking at something else on your phone. Or I know it probably doesn't happen here, but they had that problem, okay? So Solomon goes, hey, I need you to pay attention. So just like me, when that concrete breaker was coming down on my hand, there's times in life where you really need to pay attention. And so Solomon goes, hey guys, it's important. I got something I need to communicate to you. Listen up. Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings is a way of saying, boy, listen. Look at me when I'm talking to you. I think that's what my dad used to say to me. I think I'm probably going to say it to my son. I think some of that stuff we just passed down. I don't know. Put down what you're doing, turn around, and listen to me. Now, I think nowadays we might say, put that iPad down, or put that phone down, or take those headphones off. I don't know. You know, for us, what we tell them to take off or set down is different. Maybe for me it was just a book. But the idea is the same. We need them to pay attention because we're trying to tell them something and their attention is divided. So Solomon says, stop having your attention divided. I need to tell you something, boy. Do not let this wisdom escape from your sight. Keep it within your heart. Remember, heart means the center of our being. He's saying again, there's something I want you to take into the core of who you are, son. I want you to focus on this wisdom and not lose track of it. During our deployments, I was surprised by how many people had the same file on their computers. We all had this Excel file, and it was on my first deployment, and I didn't see it on my second deployment. And I think I'll tell you why in a minute, but on my first deployment, we all had these Excel files, and you would in this column right here, you'd write down when you were deployed, okay? And in this column over here, you'd write down the day you thought you were going home. And it would give you this nifty little chart, right? And it would tell you what percentage of time you have left till you get to go home, right? And it had a little countdown clock, right? And so people, they would put pictures of their kids or their wife or their cars. Some single guys I knew, you know, they would just put what they're excited about going back home to, they put in this Excel chart. And it was so that we wouldn't lose focus of what we're fighting for, or when we got to go home, and it was exciting for us. But the problem is, the more you focus on that, the harder it is to do your time sometimes, right? We had this guy in my last unit who ended up having one of his fingers mostly removed by a surgeon. And this is what happened. It was about 3 weeks before we were going home, and he got nostalgic for his wife. So he started wearing his wedding ring again. And he was working the crimper. Now, the crimper is this giant industrial crane-looking thing, and it crimps steel. That's what it does. So we made these big buildings. We called them K-spans, but they were big buildings, and we could customize the inside of them, but they were like big hangers, right? And so he was working the crimper one day, and the crimper grabbed a hold of his finger with his ring, and it had an injury that they call a degloving injury. And he degloved part of his finger and he lost it. Why? Because he was so focused on the future that he lost sight of the present. Now, I tell you those stories about the deployment because that's the same thing Solomon's saying here. Don't be so focused on the future, son, that you lose sight of the here and now. I think I was probably the worst of this than anybody that I know. I would think to myself, man, when I get through high school, I'll be happier. Man, when I get through college, that's really going to be it. Man, when I get married. Man, when I start having children, that'll be when I can be happy or okay or settled. But when you live your life that way, always focused on the future, you miss what's happening in the present. And Solomon says to his son, I need you to pay attention to this. Focus on it. Don't forget about it, because it's easy as you live your life to not focus on what's right in front of you. For they are life to those who find them and healing to their flesh. Wisdom sustains us. Good choices and right thinking give strength to our lives, and wrong choices and wrong thinking, saps our strength and lays us out. I was playing basketball one time with these guys, and one of them, this is when I lived in Florida, one of them, he was on a baseball scholarship to play for one of the universities there in Central Florida. I can't remember which one. But anyway, his name was Quentin. And so he was a college athlete, okay? He was not easy to keep a hold of and guard. He wasn't the best shooter. Basketball wasn't his sport. Baseball was. He was a pitcher. So he had an incredibly quick release when he was shooting. And so this guy I know, Sean, was playing him one-on-one, and I went to go meet them one day, and I was like, "Hey, man, how you doing?" He's like, "Josh, I messed up." I said, "Why? What happened?" He said, "I tried to go shot for shot with Quentin." I said, "Okay, so how you doing?" He goes, "Man, my shoulder is killing me." He goes, "You know, all that guy does is work his arms out. That guy can shoot." He goes, "Even though I know I'm a better player than he is, that guy is in better shape in some ways than me, and I hurt myself." You see, that's the way our life is when we take wisdom into it. It helps us make better decisions, right? If he had been thinking a little bit more clear, he probably wouldn't have tried to go shot for shot with somebody who was on a college scholarship for throwing balls fast. But he wasn't thinking very clearly that day. Verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Now, this can also be translated, and maybe your Bible says it this way, "Above all else, guard your heart." Now, this is what I like to call one of those underline verses. The former president of New Orleans Baptist Seminary, Dr. Kelly, said in chapel about 6 years ago, "Every time I teach a class, I make them memorize this verse." He said, because this is a verse that can protect you in life. You see, Dr. Kelly was friends with Bob Harrington. And I don't know if any of y'all recognize the name Bob Harrington. But in the 70s, he was one of the most famous preachers in the country. In fact, Bob's second album that he put out made him over $1 million. You see, Bob was a guy who just went to New Orleans Seminary. And one day he got a burden for the people that lived on Bourbon Street, that they were his Judea, and he didn't need to go to the ends of the earth. So he became an evangelist, and he started this ministry to people that were there, and it exploded. They invited him one day to speak at a conference in Texas, and his ministry just exploded. And from there, people just asked him to speak all over the place. And he just started making money hand over fist. And his goals in life stopped being focused on gospel ministry and people being saved, and it started being focused on how much money he could make, on what TV show he was going to appear on next. And he was on all of them. He got on Phil Donahue. They had him on TBN. Even the Baptist Press would have his articles in the paper. I mean, he was really making it. Until one day, his life started to go off the rails. And he started to care about the material more than the spiritual, you know. And he started to focus his life on those things. And so he started spending more of his time with the people that he ministered to. And he started drinking in the bars that he used to preach in. He started having relationships with women. He lost his marriage. He got married again. He got divorced again. He had to become a salesman. No church wanted to have him preach. But before the end of his life, he had this opportunity to reconnect with God. And he said he would always remember the years that he wasted focused on things that were not his priority. And this man was Dr. Kelly's father-in-law. So he had a front row seat to all the mistakes he made and had to be the one to confront him when everything was coming to its head. So Dr. Kelly preached this sermon to us and told us the life that Bob lived and how he had turned his life around eventually. And he said, if Bob had remembered this one verse, he could have stopped himself from 18 years of bad choices. See, God gives us wisdom in Proverbs that we can apply to our lives today. Because look, we're supposed to guard the heart because it's the center of our being. And from it flows everything else. What does the Bible say in verse 23? Keep your heart with all vigilance. That's what the ESV says. Pay attention to the center of your being and stop lying to yourself about what is actually important to you. If you're a man, ask your wife. She'll be honest. If you're a woman, ask your husband. He'll be honest. We're honest with each other when other people aren't, right? I mean, if we really want to know if we're doing what we're supposed to do, they're the people that can help us know if we're on the right track. Guard our hearts. What does it mean to guard your heart? What does it mean to be focused on the things that matter in life instead of money or success or numbers? I don't know what it was about this message as I was writing it, but my military days just kept coming to me. And in basic training, they teach you something called fire watch, right? And so your whole unit, each person takes at least one turn in the middle of the night, watching for 1 hour, writing in a log, and making sure that everybody in your unit is asleep, is okay, is safe, and nothing is happening to them. You have to watch over your troops, because at night when you're resting, that's where you get your strength to do work the next day. And I'll never forget it. There was a day in basic training when I was doing fire watch, and I finally, it like clicked in my mind. I'm a slow learner, so it took weeks, okay? But it finally clicked in my head that the point of this is for us to look out for everybody else in our unit. I mean, nothing was getting in that building. We were on a secure location on a base. It's preparing us for a life of being on guard and being in situations where we need to be paying attention to detail. And so at that moment, I remember thinking, we need to keep our eyes on each other because that's where our strength is going to come from. And you see, Solomon's saying the same thing with our heart, that the center of our being is where our strength comes from. And out of it flows life. Everything else about our life choices, our life direction, our successes, our failures, they come out of this central component of who we are as people. And this verse tells us to pay attention. And then all the verses that come after it warn us what happens when we lose sight of it. Verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Now, I put these two verses together for a reason. Because I think, just in my study of the passage and my understanding of life, so this is just my opinion, what we say is a precursor to what we do. Right? The Bible puts it this way in another place. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And most of us, it's not that we said too much that we don't believe. It's that we've said too much that we do believe, and that's how we get ourselves in trouble. You see, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we set the course of our lives in a direction. James said this, the tongue can set the whole body on fire and send it to hell. What's he mean by that? He means that the course and direction of our life is often set by the way in which we talk about things. Construction sites are famous for this, right? Dirty talk, dirty action, rough people. But I'll tell you, on my deployments and on my time with guys, at the end of the day, they're worried about their families and their children, just like everybody else is that's deployed. But they fake it with all this dirty talk, with all this coarse behavior. It's like a fake covering over what's really going on deep inside of them. And they just get lost in these little loops, and they lose self-control. And you know what happened to several guys that I knew? When they got back home and finally were with their wives and kids, a bunch of them ended up divorced because they forgot how to act around them. They forgot that you can't act that way around a woman. You can't act that way around children. You can't just say whatever you think. And you can't just think of the worst things to say and say them to somebody you care about and expect them to stay with you. My unit in the Air Force had the highest divorce rate in the whole U.S. Air Force. It's not something I'm proud of, but it is a fact. So I've seen firsthand what happens when people just let their mouths run and then they go back to being around their families. It's out of control. But this also means, as he's telling us to keep our eyes forward in verse 25 and let our gaze be straight, don't focus on others so much. This is another one of those verses that if we understand the principles of this and truly apply it to our lives, it saves us from so much grief. And we try to teach our kids this. We say, keep your eyes on your own paper. Don't cheat. Right? We try to teach our kids this at Christmas. Don't worry about what she got for Christmas. Just be thankful for what you got for Christmas. Right? But yet as adults, many of us end up doing the same thing in our careers, don't we? She didn't work that hard for that position. Or he's just lazy. Or he's just foolish. Or he sure doesn't deserve that. We're focused so much externally on what these other people are doing or not doing that we're losing sight of the fact that we're not being responsible for what God's given us authority over. Why in the world would he give us more? We're so busy focused on everybody else. Listen, keep your eyes forward and let your gaze be straight. That's good advice to all of us. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be secure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Ponder the path of your feet. Watch where you're stepping. Has anybody ever watched the TV show Alone? Anybody ever watched that show? Okay, nobody's seen it. This is one of my guilty pleasures. Like, if I got the baby asleep and Anna's not in the room, I'll watch this show Alone. And here's the premise of the show, okay? They take people that say they're survivalists and they drop them in the middle of the wilderness in Argentina or Canada or near the North Pole or something. And their goal is to live alone as survivors for as long as they can. And I'm telling you, it's fascinating. I've never been so invested in a person catching a fish or shooting a bird or finding some berries. But I love it. And it's captivating because it's life and death, right? And they're so focused on if they're going to be able to survive and if they can get to it. And one of the things that they have to watch, I've seen at least one person that I thought was going to make it really far in that competition break his leg because he didn't watch where he was going. I had a friend of mine who did the exact same thing. We're playing soccer one time. And the ball came right to him. And he thought he was a good soccer player, which that was his first mistake, okay? And what he did was he tried to trap the ball and then do something fancy with it, right? Well, he wasn't thinking, and he trapped the ball and put all of his weight on it, and then his leg went far down to the ground. He broke it in about three places, had to get pins put in, from a soccer ball that he stepped on because he didn't look and pay attention. If he would have, he would have seen that that ball was not inflated all the way and it was not supporting the pressure he was putting on it. And he's used to the professional balls with all the tight air put into them and he can hit them as hard as he wants. this old flimsy ball was pretty flat. He broke his leg. Had to get stitches. Look, ponder your path of your feet is a fancy way of saying, look where you're going. Put one foot in front of the other. So as you live your life, look at where you're going. I mean, that's why we have daily devotional times with Jesus. It's not so we can check something off of our spiritual to-do list. It is how we become reacquainted with who we are and we watch where our feet are going. With all the things that we do in our lives, I'm just going to tell you, I don't care if you spend 5 minutes or 50 minutes reading the Bible and praying. It centers you, it focuses you, and it reminds you of your place in the world. Paying attention to God is one of the ways that we watch where our feet are going. Another way is praying for others. You know how easy it is for us to get caught up in our own problems? The way we see the world. I talked to somebody today who called me on the phone and he asked me to pray for him. And I hope he doesn't listen to this because I don't want him to feel bad. But when he told me what he wanted me to pray for, I was sitting there thinking, that's not even really a big deal, man. I had people calling me this week who had cancer. People worried about if they're going to make it another year. I've had people talking to me lately about suicide. Like, I've just heard a lot of stuff lately. This is a hard time that we live in right now. And this guy was just anxious about something. And part of me wanted to just tell him, man, don't worry about it. That's not a big deal. You know all the other stuff that people are coming to me with this week? When we pray for others and we're generous to others and we're kind to others, it refocuses us. Because listen, we can think our little problem in our life is a big problem until we hear a big problem. And I think that's true of all of us. I mean, unless you're facing a life or death cancer diagnosis, or unless you have unless you have an absolute traumatic situation going on in your life right now, if you do, then I'm sorry for you and I pray for you. But for most of us, we don't live in a constant state of tragedy. Most of us allow little things to become big things. And those big things, remember, Solomon said, don't forget the way of life, keep your eyes on it, keep your path straight. But a lot of us, the little things in life become so big that they dominate the vision of our day. And listen, I think one of the most constant things God does to me in the morning when I pray is He pushes me away from the things I'm worried about and has me pray for others. And I'm always, always, always better for it. So allow God an opportunity to make sure you're on that straight path. That's all I'm saying. If you know Him, let Him straighten your path before you break your leg. Do not swerve to the right or to the left or take your foot away from evil. Don't check out what other people are doing, whether they're successful or whether they're not, whether they're following the path that you think they should or not. I used to think I was in pretty good shape, and I know this is a surprise to some of y'all. And I used to think I was in really good shape, and this was in my military days. I mean, right after basic training, they make you run everywhere, okay? So I could swim really far, I could run really fast, I could do a bunch of push-ups and sit-ups. I was like, man, I am great, until I met someone who put me in my place. And I met this captain. And this guy never said a single word to me, but I will never forget him for the rest of my life. We were changing clothes in this like open area, and it was my day to work the desk. So I was in charge of making sure everybody came in and out and signed the duty roster and everything like they were supposed to. And so this guy, he runs out to change, and he's taking this shirt off. I was like, that's a cut dude. That was the first thing I thought. Okay? But the second thing I thought was, what is that tattoo? I saw this circle on his shoulder, and I couldn't tell what it was. You know, and how you want to see what someone's tattoo is when they're changing shirts, but you don't want to make it look like you're staring at another dude who's changing his shirt. That's where I was that day, okay? I don't know if you've ever been there. And I never got a good look. So somebody that lived on his hall was coming to hang out with me. He's a friend of mine. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, who was that captain? All I saw was his rank and this weird tattoo on his shoulder. I said, what was that all about? I said, he looked pretty cut, but I don't think I've ever seen that guy before. He's like, oh, you don't know that guy? And I was like, no. He's like, we call him Captain Rings. I said, why you call him Captain Rings? He said, well, he has the Olympic rings tattooed on his back because he was in the Olympic trials and made it to represent the United States for swimming. And now he's signed up to be a pararescueman, which for the Air Force, that's the most extreme thing you can sign up for. I used to work out with some of these guys when I lived in Florida. The Air Force would take them in planes and helicopters and drop them off 10 miles into the ocean, and they would swim to the base and run 5 miles to the gym and then outlift me. So this guy, just by existing, put me in my place. I'm like, I bet this guy's smarter than me too, even though I never talked to him. And I thought to myself, man, why can't I be more like that guy? You know how easy it is for us to get focused on other people in a negative way? Think, man, he just has good genetics. Or, man, he just has the opportunities that I didn't have. We can become bitter. We can become angry. We become resentful. And that man doesn't even know I exist. And he's impacting me. Because I let him in my mind. And I let him into the focus and center of my will. Guard your heart above all things. Be careful what you let in, because it will impact the direction of your life and your thoughts. And that ultimately impacts the way we live the rest of our lives. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the strength and power and clarity of your word. Thank you for reminding us, God, that we need to watch with all vigilance over our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to do this in our lives, God. It's not that we seek to live perfect lives, Holy Spirit. It's not that we seek to be perfect people, God. It's that we seek to be your people. So God, we pray that the center of our being and our focus and our life and our activity would be based on you and your word. And God Almighty, I just pray you would tear down our pride and our anxiety and our fears, all the things that we've stuck in the throne of our lives. And Father God, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would sit in that place. And that you'd remove all those obstacles. Help us, God, daily as we seek to dust off your throne and invite you to rule and reign in our lives. God, we just pray you'd make us more like you and you would transform us daily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.